I want to thank once again Pastor Hendricks for inviting me out this week to preach. It is a privilege and an honor to preach the Word of God, and I hope that the messages have been helpful to you young people. We've looked this week at the subject of salvation. We looked at how there are some things you don't want to miss out on. We think Grafton Camp is one of them. But you want to make sure you don't miss out on heaven. There's going to be a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of fun that takes place there. And you want to make sure that you don't miss out on that. So before you leave here tomorrow morning, if you're not saved, you talk to one of the adults about how you can be born again and be sure of heaven. We've also talked about the devil, how he indeed does exist just as the Bible describes him, and therefore we have to be sober, we have to be vigilant, we have to be alert, otherwise he is going to destroy us. We've talked about how the Bible encourages us or exhorts us to wake up spiritually and walk right, and also to watch out. Don't put yourself in a place where you would be tempted to sin. And then last night we talked about the subject of devotion. And we saw that Mary was someone who was devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we likewise should strive to be devoted to our Savior. But I want to ask some questions to the young people about last evening's message. I have four questions, all right? So same rules apply. If you think you know the answer, you stand. If you're the first one to stand, then you get the opportunity to answer the question and give your side 10 points, all right? So the first question, what state is the wrestling capital? Rebecca? Iowa, that is correct. Iowa. Wrestling capital of the world. How much was Mary's alabaster... Jordan? 300 pence. That's how much it was worth. That is correct. Question number three. What did other Christians think of what... Who is it? Rebecca? Rebecca, you already answered, right? You only get the opportunity to answer one correct question. Was Ashley the next one? Ashley? You remember the question now? What did other Christians think? That's about as far as I got, right? What did other Christians think, folks, about what Mary did? Go ahead, Ashley. Say that again. Yeah, she was too extreme about God, that she went too far. And the last question, question number four, what did Jesus think of what Mary did? Devin? That it was a good thing to do. That's a good answer. All right. So girls, that means the boys, they win this, all right, for the week. With, it looks like, 110 points to 30 points. So good job, boys. Good job. Let me ask a question before I get started with my message tonight. And you juniors, I guess, could raise your hands to this question if you want. But I'm kind of curious about what the adults and some of the teenagers would say. How many of you would say that you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ while you were a junior? Let's say 6 years old to 12 or 13 years old. How many of you would say it was at that point in your life that you surrendered completely to the Lord? I ask that for my own edification because I'm just curious if the messages that I preach have the ability to impress you young people in such a way to cause you to surrender your life to the Lord now and make a difference the rest of your life. And of course, I know God's Word is able to reach young people. I know the Lord reached the heart of my wife at a very young age. The Lord reached the heart into the heart of my oldest daughter at a very young age. Now, that wasn't necessarily true for myself. I was much older. But my prayer will be, as we leave this week, that the messages and the things that you've learned from the Word of God will change you for the rest of your life. Let me read our text. Tonight our text is in Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let's pray. Lord, bless this message as it goes forth tonight. Lord, may there not be a letdown this evening, even though it's the last night of our chapel services. May the Holy Ghost be at liberty to work tonight, and may you stir our hearts to not only be sure that we're saved, but God, tonight might you stir our hearts in such a way that we would desire and purpose to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want you to necessarily answer the question out loud. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I simply want you to think about the question for a moment. Would you be interested in living a life of self-denial? And that, by that I mean forfeiting or giving up your goals, your ambitions, your desires, your wants. Would you be interested in living a life of sacrifice and servanthood? Because these things are not normally considered good things by most people today. However, Jesus indicates in our text that these things are required if you are to be his disciple. And let me then start by defining what a disciple is. We call the 12 men. The Bible calls the 12 men who followed the Lord Jesus Christ around in his earthly ministry the 12 disciples. And they're called that because they followed him. They listened to his teachings. They put his teachings into practice in their lives. And they followed him, not just physically going where he went, but they imitated him with the way that they lived their lives. And so a disciple is very simply someone who follows someone else. And therefore, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means you follow him. There is a difference then between being saved and being a disciple. In our text, Jesus gives us some requirements for a disciple, and we're going to look at those tonight in length. And when we study the Bible as a whole, we don't find that these things are necessary to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Is that not of yourself? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you boys have those verses memorized? That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. You are saved when you repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, died for your sin, was buried, and rose again. Salvation is obtained by believing on the person and work of Jesus Christ. But being a disciple is following Jesus moment by moment in our lives. But I will say this, there does at times in the Bible appear to be a connection between being saved and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Matthew chapter 19 in verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" I tell you what, that's a question that every preacher wants to be asked. You know, as a church in Shepherdsville, we go out and we knock on doors and try to tell people how they can be saved. But it's not very often that someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved?" I mean, you know, that's like sticking a Mountain Dew and a Twinkie in front of me. I mean, that's a good thing, right? When someone says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" I mean, that'd be crazy, because you tell them, believe on Jesus, and they get saved, and you get to rejoice with them. So this man is very simply and clearly asking Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" But notice Jesus' response. It's kind of puzzling to some people, because he said, "Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good?" I asked my church not too long ago, I said, "Why do you think Jesus asked that question?" Because he is good, isn't he? Girls, is God good? Yes, he's good. Is Jesus good, boys? Absolutely. He's the spotless, the perfect Lamb of God. He's holy and righteous and good. So why is he asking this man, "Why are you calling me good?" Because he wanted this man to understand who he was. And listen to me, young people. You cannot get saved until you realize who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He's our Savior. You know, the book of Matthew, in chapter number 1, gives two different names to Jesus. Boys, listen. Gives two different names to Jesus in just a matter of a few verses. One of the names is Emmanuel. And what is Emmanuel? Being interpreted as what, girls? God with us. And then there's another name, and it's the name Jesus. And it's all in capital letters. Does anybody know what Jesus means? Rebecca? No, it means Savior. But there are two names given to Jesus there to clarify who he is and what he's done. And you got to know who he is and what he's done in order to be saved. He is the Son of God who died for your sins. You can't get saved until you understand that. But notice, as Jesus continues to talk with this man, the man says to Jesus Christ, when he said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." He said, "But if thou enter into life, keep the commandments." The man said, "Which?" Which commandments? And again, this is a puzzling answer to most of us. Why did Jesus say, if you want to enter into life, if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments? Girls, is that how you're saved? By keeping a list of commandments? No. And how do we know that? Because of what the Bible says. Then why did Jesus answer this way? I think he wanted to get this man to understand that he was a sinner. That he wasn't as perfect as he thought he was. Because when Jesus explains which commandments, he says, "I've done all of these things from my youth, from the time that I was a little boy up. I've done all these things from my youth up." And Jesus said, "Okay, then you lack one thing." And he said, "This is what I want you to do." Now remember, this man started off by saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And now Jesus says, "This is what you lack. Go and sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." That sounds an awful lot like the requirement for a disciple. And I point all that out to say this.
Jesus is not only interested in you being saved, he is absolutely interested in every one of us being sure of heaven. He wants to save every one of us from the punishment that we deserve for our sin. But he is also interested in us being a true disciple. He wants us to be a true disciple, a true follower of him. But if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to meet the requirements that he gives in Matthew chapter 16. And there are three of them. The first is this: if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, you are going to have to deny yourself. You guys understand what that means? To deny yourself? It means to give up what you want to do. Sometimes older people ask little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if I was to ask you young people that question, how would you answer it? Some of you teenagers, if I was to ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? What are you going to answer? Are you going to say, I want to be a doctor? I want to be a nurse? I want to be a carpenter? I want to be a preacher? I want to be a Sunday school teacher? What you should say is, I am going to be and do whatever Jesus Christ wants me to do. Those of you that know me probably know that whenever I was younger, a teenager, even 20 or 21 years old, I had plans and goals to be a math teacher and to coach what else? Wrestling. You know, I saw on a wrestling website a couple of months ago that there was a head coach position in Waterloo. Now, Waterloo is in the Mississippi Valley Conference, which is the same conference that Jerseyville's in. That's where I wrestle. And so, while I'm out in my garage of an evening, I'm out there lifting weights or cleaning up my garage, and I'm just planning it out in my mind how I could take Waterloo, which isn't very good at all, and how I can make them the premier powerhouse wrestling team in the Mississippi Valley Conference. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm never going to do that, okay? I don't think. That's what I used to want to do. But you know what? There came a time in my life where I had to decide, am I going to do what I want to do? Or am I going to do what God wants me to do? And you know what? Every one of us are faced with that decision. Are we going to do what we want to do? Or are we going to deny ourselves and allow God to take control and to do with us whatever he wants? Will you be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you're willing to deny yourself. You know, just prior to our text, Jesus has a discussion with Simon Peter. And Jesus begins to describe what's going to happen to him. How he's going to go to Jerusalem. How he's going to be betrayed. And how he's going to be crucified. You know what Simon Peter says? No, Lord. No. That's not what's going to happen. I'll not let that happen. And he said, get behind me. You know what Simon Peter, at this point in time, was not denying himself. Because you know what? He was looking for a king. And he thought Jesus was that king. And he was looking for him to establish his kingdom. And he wanted to rule and reign with Jesus. He didn't want to see his Savior, his Messiah, crucified. That wasn't in his plans. But Jesus says to Simon Peter and the other disciples, if you want to be a true disciple, you have to deny yourself, give up your plans, give up your ambitions, give up your goals, and die to yourself.
Notice in our text in verse 25, it said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Boys, if you go home and you discover that your favorite cat pistol has been lost, are you going to be able to play with it anymore? Are you going to be able to hold it and holster it and shoot it if it's lost? No. Girls, if you go home and you find that your favorite baby doll is missing, are you going to be able to pick it up and play with it? If you go home, children, and your bicycles are gone and they've been stolen, do you get to ride them anymore? No, why? They're lost. And you know what? When you lose your life in Jesus Christ, you don't get to live it anymore. He gets to live through you and do what He wants through you. If you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're also going to have to, as Jesus says, take up your cross. You're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to bear your cross. Now, to some of us, we might not understand what that means, but when Jesus said it in this day, I believe the 12 understood exactly what He meant. Because you see, Israel was under the domination of Rome. Rome was the political power. And you know how they would put prisoners to death? They would crucify them. That means they would hang them on a cross. And you know what? When someone was to be crucified, the individual who was going to be crucified would have to put his cross on his back and bear it to the place when He was going to be crucified. And so when Jesus says to the 12, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross, I believe He was indicating to them, you're going to die a martyr's death. He was indicating to them, you are going to have to sacrifice. Again, that's a dirty word in our culture today. Sacrifice? I don't want to have to sacrifice. But I tell you what, there's been some believers in the past who have sacrificed their lives for Jesus Christ. You know, there's a man by the name of William Tyndale. William Tyndale is the first man, I believe, to translate the entire New Testament into the English language. William Tyndale was in a debate, or you might say an argument, with a Roman Catholic priest one time. And the Roman Catholic priest said, we would be better without the Bible than we would be without the laws of the Pope. And William Tyndale, being a staunch Bible believer, he says, I defy the Pope, I defy his laws, and if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to put the Bible into the language of the people, and I'm going to cause the boy that heads up the plow to know more about the Bible than you do. And you know what? That became his life's goal, his life's ambition, under the direction of God, to translate the Bible into the English language. And you know, in part, why we have an English Bible today is due to William Tyndale. But you know what? Not everybody liked what he was doing. The Roman Catholics hated him for it, and they eventually put him in prison. And after being in prison for 18 months, they led him out of that prison and up to a stake, and after they strangled him, they burnt him at the stake. But not before he said these words, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. But William Tyndale gave his life. He was strangled and burnt at the stake for wanting to give us an English Bible. And you know, his prayer was answered not even a year had passed since his martyrdom, and the King of England sanctioned 2 English translations to be published. One was the Coverdale Bible, the other was the Matthew's Bible. That reminds me of another story. The Matthew's Bible gets its name from Thomas Matthews, but that wasn't his real name. His real name was John Rogers. But because he was associated with William Tyndale, he couldn't put his name on a Bible. Otherwise, they would have sought him out to destroy him. And you know what happened to John Rogers? He also was put in prison. I don't remember how long he was in prison, but one day they came and they woke him up. And the jailkeeper's wife said, "Today is the day that you're going to die. You need to prepare yourself." And John Rogers got up and he walked to the place where they would burn him at the stake. But before he got to that stake, he passed his wife and he left children. One child of his was so small, the mother still carried it next to her breast. He was asked, "Will you denounce your religion?" And he said, "No." He said, "I will seal everything that I preach with my own blood." And as they burned him at the stake, one historian says he waved his hands over the flames like he was walking. I'm simply saying there have been people who have sacrificed their very lives for the cause of Christ. And you know what? God may not call upon you to sacrifice your life, but He does say, if you are going to be His disciple, you're going to have to sacrifice. After mentioning those two men, it probably seems rather trivial to talk about some of the sacrifices that we make. But you know, I believe a lot of the adults who are here at camp this week are making sacrifices. They're sacrificing the air conditioning. They're sacrificing vacations. Because these adults, young people, do you realize that they can take their time off of work and they can go on a float trip? They can go out to the lake. They can go to Six Flags or the Disney World. But they choose instead to sacrifice those things and come here and minister. They deny themselves pleasures, sacrifice things they could be doing to be here. And as I thought about that this week, and I understand none of you do it probably for the applause of men, and I also realize that when we've done everything that's required of us, we are still unprofitable servants, but I can't help but look at the workers that are still involved in this camp and have been since the day that I got involved and praise the Lord. Maybe they're small sacrifices, but Jesus said if you give a cup of water in my name, you'll receive a prophecy. Young people, teenagers, adults, are you willing to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you deny yourself and sacrifice for the cause of Christ? Will you really sacrifice? Because you know what I hear more and more from people out in the world, even Christians? They're always saying how they've got to do what makes them happy. I've had women tell me that right before they divorced their husband. "I gotta do what makes me happy." You know, the problem with that statement is this. We don't know what makes us happy, do we? Our hearts are wicked. Who can know this? If I went my own way and did whatever I wanted to do with my life, I'm sure I would make a wreck of it. But if I will listen to the Word of God and do what God has said, He says I'll be blessed. Or I'll be happy. You know, one of the women who told me, "I got to do what makes me happy and divorce my husband,"
2 days after the divorce is at my door saying, you got to talk to him. I said, I ain't talking to nobody. You thought this was all going to be resolved and over? It's not resolved and over. It didn't make you happy, did it? And you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. Young people, you do what God says to do, and you'll find that it will make you happy.
May I also say this? Sometimes, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we deny ourselves certain things. We sacrifice certain things, and we look out at the lost world, and they're not sacrificing anything.
They're not denying themselves. Sometimes they're ungodly reprobate. Sometimes they're moral people, but they're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they seem to be happy. Those of you that have Facebook accounts, you ever see how some people just post about how happy life is? It's not always as happy as it seems. Sometimes we look at sinners, look at all the fun they're having, and we envy them. And that's why the Bible tells us, envy not sinners.
Don't envy sinners. You know why? Because the Bible says they shall soon be cut down. Soon be cut down. Can I ask you young people a question? If God says,
if you'll deny yourself in this life and sacrifice things and follow Him, that you'll have riches throughout all of eternity, even though you'll have some hard times now, would you be willing to do that?
Boys, if God says, if you'll do this now, I'll reward you later, will you be willing to wait for the reward? I hope so, because most people are. Most people want, you know, what I call instant gratification. They want it, and they want it now. They want to do what's going to make them happy now, but I'm afraid in doing so, they forfeit happiness that they could have throughout all of eternity. And so, folks, listen to me. It's not worth it to live for this life and miss out on all the blessings that God has for you in the future. Deny yourself. Sacrifice everything now so that you can live happy and blessed throughout all of eternity. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of Christians who are disappointed at the throne room of God. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Are you willing to do that? Girls, I mentioned a singer last night by the name of Katy Perry. She's very popular today.
She was raised in a minister's home, a preacher's home. She got to a certain age and she said, I don't want no part of that. She said, I want to have fun with my life.
If you listen to that lady's music, God help you. And lastly, Jesus said, follow me. If you want to be my disciple, he said, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Are you willing to follow Jesus wherever He leads? Are you willing to follow Jesus whenever He leads? Are you willing to follow Jesus however He leads? I trust that you are. Because if you're not, you can't correctly call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. You have to be selfless. You have to take up your cross. You have to be willing to sacrifice. And you have to follow me. You have to be willing to live the life of a servant. The reason it's so hard to do that is because we want happiness now. We don't want to have to deny ourselves. We don't want to have to sacrifice. We want to live our lives the way we want to live them. It's your choice. You can do that, but you'll regret it in the end. Let me give one last illustration before I close. I work at a medical clinic. There's about 80 different doctors at our medical clinic. We have a dermatology department. That is a doctor who specializes in skin. We have a doctor there, and we have what they call a nurse practitioner. She's not a doctor. She's kind of a step underneath it. But she deals a lot with skin cancer. And one day, she was asked to be for some assistance on getting a presentation together that she was going to give at the local high school and at our clinic. She was using PowerPoint, which is similar to what Pastor Valentin's been using this week. And she was having me take these pictures of Miss Marilyn. Miss Marilyn was the beauty winner in the state of Maryland who was trying to be Miss Universe. And she was having me take these pictures of Miss Marilyn. I had a picture of her in a gown and a crown on her head where she looked all beautiful with Miss Marilyn, her ribbon running down her chest. And then she had these two pictures. One of them was of her side right here. And it almost looked like someone had just taken a knife and cut her and peeled it back and then tried to make her look blue or something. I mean, it was real ugly. And you know what there was two scars like that. You know what they were from? They were from skin cancer. You know how she got skin cancer? Because she was only like 19 or 20 years old. She got skin cancer from spending too much time with candy booths. You know, she went to the candy booths so that she would look pretty now. Because people think if you look tan, you look pretty. But you know, most of the time when you do that, you sacrifice your beauty. You know, my mother has always been someone to stay out of the sun. She never spent any time in the sun, and she never spent any time in the sun. You know, as she's grown in years, her skin was always just beautiful white. And I'm sure it wouldn't have looked like that had she went to the candy booths all the time. But I was looking through our nurse practitioner's slide, and there was a couple of statistics that stood out. One of them was just going to a tanning booth one time, is equal to 15-year normal exposure to the sun. And I don't know if you don't even realize it, but the sun is what makes your skin get old. It's what makes it wrinkle. It's what dries it out. And so what she said in her presentation is just going to a tanning booth one time. Is like standing in the sun for 15 years, or how much sun exposure do you have? But yet, young girls go to the tanning booth time after time after time. Why? Because they want to look beautiful now, and they don't think about what that's going to do to their skin. Folks, you have a choice. You have a choice in this life. You can deny yourself, you can sacrifice and follow Jesus and have rewards for it throughout all of eternity. Or you can live your life now the way you want to. And you'll have fun in this life, perhaps. But you'll miss out on all the rewards that God had intended for you to possess in eternity. Young people, will you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? The first step you need to take is the step of salvation. Have you realized that you're a sinner? And that because of your sin, you deserve to die and go to hell? If tonight is the first time that you realize that, you need to also realize that Jesus died for your sin so that you could be saved. This is our last evening chapel. And so I'm going to ask you young people, or anyone in the back, again tonight, you need to be saved. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I need to be saved"? Would you raise your hand if you'd say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I want to be saved, and I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ"? Anybody at all like that? Thank you. Anybody else that would say, "Preacher, I want to be saved"? Anybody else? For those of you that are saved, then, let me just say, in summary, will you be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you lose your life in His? I trust that you will. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this service tonight. And God, I pray that You would use some of the things that I've said, and that You would use the Word of God to prick the hearts of these young people, these teenagers, and these adults alike. God, may we indeed strive to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Thee. Lord, I pray that You would work in the hearts of those that are lost. God, help them to understand who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for them. And then may they call upon Him and ask Him to save them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.